Matrix Moments. Today's podcast is titled Leadership Factory at Off Business. And I'm really excited to do this one with both of you, Vasant, Ankush. Thank you. Vasant is a co-founder of Off Business and now Oxyzo.
Thank you. Pleasure is ours to join
you. The latest round. And Ankush is actually part of the first management trainee batch at Off Business and is now senior leader at Oxyzo. He handles the entire North region. Okay. And so today's podcast, given that it's focused on the leadership factory and the management training program specifically, it's fantastic to have you. I know, Vasant, you were instrumental in building this as well.
Thank you so much, Rajinder. And interestingly, Ankush also takes care of our entire management training program. So the right guy here to share his opinion on, what we are building and, the leadership management at Off Business.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the lovely introduction, Rajinder. So let's dive straight into the discussion. Why is the podcast topic today of Leadership Factory at OFB so very important?
Actually, Vasant, you should take this one. This one is your idea.
Right. So, first of all, thanks, Rajinder, for this podcast. So, I think fundamentally, recruitment and training is a problem that every startup today grapples with, right? Whether it's a large organization or whether it's an early stage startup, I think fundamentally they've not been able to scale up fundamentally because they've not had great people there. The other issue that's also very important is that in a B2C company, you always have a product which gives a great customer experience, right? It's a uniform customer experience. But in a B2B startup like ours, where the front facing of a customer is today individuals, how do you ensure that you have a program where everyone gets trained, there is uniformity in the way they approach every customer? Today, a customer who works with us from Faridabad to a Trichy to a Bangalore to a Pune, how do you ensure that for him, the front facing person represents Off Business in their truest way? So I think that boils down to the importance for having a great recruitment and a people management solution, and I think that's why this conversation is very, very important to us.
Yeah, no, I think well put. I actually would like to start out, come backwards, right? First and foremost, very few startups hit scale. Not many of them reach the scale that you all have. Even fewer actually hit the scale where there are two large independent businesses which are now both unicorns. So congratulations to you both and to everyone at Off Business and Oxyzo. I think in the India context, I can think of now four examples. There's Flipkart, PhonePe, there's Ola Electric, Close to Home, there's First Cry, Express Beans, and now Off Business and Oxyzo. So I think it's not by accident. I think it's down to the people who are part of the team. And core to that is basically, I think in the Off Business case at least, the management training program that you'll have. I guess if I take a step back, what's a successful MT program, right? How should one measure it? At least in my mind, it would be a very large percentage of entry-level management positions are filled through the MT program. A very large percentage, let's call it 70-80% of senior leaders are actually folks who graduate through the program. Obviously, this program lays the foundation for the culture at the company. A large part of the competition is healthy, it's internal, people who know each other for many years. And then finally, I think, there's this enormous bandwidth that gets created for expansion. Right. And you're also able to keep costs low while you expand because, MTs are much less expensive than lateral hires. For Off Business, actually, when I look back, all of these actually check out, right? You all have been able to make sure that all of this works. And frankly, the expansion into new businesses like Oxyzo are also down to the fact that, there is this internal org bandwidth that is there. I know that the co-founders get a lot of credit, Vasant, but for everyone who's been involved from the investor side, there's at least like 10, 15, 20 people now who we all know and who we all recognize as being key contributors to the success of the company. And so I would say that, this is what's special about the company, and you guys should talk more about it, because you were part of the first batch, now that you run some of this MT program, like where do you all go, who do you look for? Who's a fit at Off Business? How do you all integrate them? Actually, you should share some of your own personal journey as well.
Sure, Rajinder. Actually, this is a very pertinent question. This is thrown at us at campus after campus, year on year. So as to what is it that we're looking for? Why is it that we hire people at a particular campus who are usually not the ones believed to be an OFBian? Now, to take you back, taking that step back, see, there are people who would have wanted to be at a place at one particular point of time in their career, would want to succeed in their own eyes and have not succeeded from their own very perspective, right? Somebody wants to get to a role, X role or a Y role, to get a certain position, but he could not achieve that. Now, when we're talking about such people, we're talking about the top 1% of of the management students who get into the best of these schools, the best of IIMs, etc. But somebody who wanted to get to an Ahmedabad, an Bangalore or a Calcutta, but did not get there, went to a different school like an FMS or an IIM Rota, and he feels that, you know, he's an underdog in life. He always has the hunger to succeed. Just because from a societal perspective, he's one of the achievers in society, but in his own eyes, he always feels that he missed out in life. And he's the one who has a point to prove wherever he goes. It's not that he's dissatisfied, but he always wants to be better at what he's doing as compared to his peer group. That's why hunger is the most important ingredient that we look at in anyone that we hire. Vasan, don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can't reinforce how important hunger is. But I think you also have to give due credit to Matrix, because I think we took the framework from there. I think fundamentally we look at four things, right? Hunger, hustle, humility, and the ability to sell. These are the filters that we look at when we are trying to recruit somebody. Incidentally, because of being out of Gurgaon, we started going to the likes of your FMS, your IFT, your IIM Rohtak, your IIM Lucknow. But what has happened is there's been so much fan following and a sense of fraternity that's been built out, because today from every college, there's almost 20 people out there in the organization from each of these colleges. So great sense of brotherhood and fraternity has been built that we end up going to these colleges. We have had a great experience, and so they have had a great experience with us, that today we are getting the top 20% from these colleges because they have seen what seniors, batchmates have all been able to perform. Now, the other things that matter to us apart from hunger is humility, because you're obviously working with SMEs or being in this industry forever, and we believe that people who you get from colleges can be groomed towards it. We also are very, very execution first, execution heavy, don't like giving yarn, like getting our hands dirty and doing things, and believe that hence freshers fit right into that culture. And I think at the end of the day, all of us are want to be the best sales guy in the room, and we believe that, you know, again, talent that we get from these colleges can be groomed to be very salesy, and I think that's the type of recruitment we do, and that's the, you know, filters that we keep when it comes to hiring.
You know, I think the camaraderie and the frankly brutal honesty sometimes is very, very evident in internal interactions. In like some boardrooms, you know, in boardroom discussions, is actually people starting one sentence and, you know, the other person finishing their sentence. So it's very clear. Talk a little bit about the evolution of, you know, management trainees in their first 2 years in the program.
Right. So we actually have a good 6-month exhaustive induction program for all of them. The moment they join, there's a central induction that happens at Delhi, which is followed by the infamous drinking induction, goes all night long. And I think that's very much like the college culture that's associated with it. I think being IIT, you know that ragging, how it works. And I think that's the type of culture we try to build in here too. The initial week is followed by induction that happens in the different regions. Now this goes for 6 months. The best part is for 6 months, it's almost non-evaluative. Mm-hmm. There's literally no target. They end up mirroring and shadowing senior folks across the organization for different meetings, and they sort of realize whether they want to be here and whether the the aspiration is to become one of them. In parallel, we also have an induction module, and this is digital content that's made by all of us, 50 modules with exams where they go through every month. At the end of 6 months, you have someone who has mirrored every senior folk in the organization, who has learned every trick in the trade, who has been taught everything from how to negotiate, how to start a meeting, processes, products. And I think he has been well equipped with everything to succeed. And I think that's the induction program that, you know, we have sort of made. Yes, so I think as an organization, we are very hard on people who come laterally, because we end up using the same framework for them. We end up checking that, are they hungry? Do they hustle? Do they have the ability to sell? And is there humility? And we would often realize that people who come from the industry believe that humility, they believe that it's very tough for them to unlearn. So humility doesn't, tick the checkbox all the time. The other thing is that many of them don't like to hustle. They like to get things done rather than do it themselves. So that sort of doesn't filter well within the organization. But for us, what's more important is whether someone comes through an MT program or whether someone comes through laterally. I think these four filters are very important. We also have, I think, almost 5-6 senior folks across M&A, across the NBFC, across off-commerce, who are people who have come from the industry. But I think irrespective of the domain experience that they bring in, I think what's important that they check out is that these four filters always check out for them. And I think that's what makes them successful within our business.
How many MTs succeed within the firm?
So what happens is the transition happens between the 6-month to the 1 year period. I think that's where we see the transition. Because after 6 months, one is well equipped to succeed. And then they also realize whether this is where they want to be. So, you know, after 6 months, some people realize that this is not their bread and butter. They realize this is not what they want to be doing. And then we see some attrition there. But beyond 1 year, whoever has been there in the organization, today our attrition is, I mean, less than 2-3%, some for personal reasons. All these management trainees, I think after 2 years, we believe in a concept of carrying meritocracy, which means we will care for you after being meritocratic. The first 2 years, you are evaluated based on numbers. But the moment you prove your point and you prove yourself, then you know the world is an oyster. I mean, you can do whatever you want, right? All of them end up becoming new geographical leaders. Some of them become empire builders, have 50, 60 people reporting to them, case in point being Ankush. And today, if you look at off-business, right, we have our commerce business has grown about 3x, our lending business has grown 2x. We have gotten into multiple new products, multiple new categories. We've even got into manufacturing ourselves. Everything today is led by a management trainee who's been with us for 3 years. And so that's the type of growth that management trainees see.
No, I think fantastic. You know, and I think this is actually very instructive, and it's an actual fundamental org building choice that all startups have. You know, we've all been part of different organizations. You know, you were from ITC, I was from Unilever. We've all read, of these famous management training programs in traditional industries. But in the startup ecosystem, it's actually very rare, right? Mm-hmm. And you're one of the few companies that actually does it. Now, the reason it is hard is because most startups are actually trying to scale really fast, mm-hmm. right? And so for them, the cost of failure is too high. And so they typically hire someone from industry as a lateral who has this particular skill set, who can execute a particular charter. And, once that person has executed that charter over the next, 1-2 years, the reality is there may not be that next role for that person. So, that's where there tends to be a lot of, people moving from org to org, and, you're constantly as a founder in this loop of, hiring and, building the org again, right? And so that's very time consuming. I think the model that y'all have actually set up for yourselves is actually very sustainable long term. And now I've increasingly been telling most of the startups that I work with that, start thinking about this almost from the time that you're kind of hitting kind of Series B, right? Because now you're at a scale where you can actually go to campuses and actually recruit 10, 20, 30 people as part of your first empty batches. I don't know, how big was the first empty batch?
The first empty batch was 5.
See, I mean, you can actually start as small as 5, right?
And today it's 40.
And still get it right. But, when you go through that route, right, it's very scalable. You can actually scale from 5 to 40. There are enough, great campuses out there, and you can hire, from the best, or you can hire the best from, the next best institutes, all of that, right? I think the other thing is that, you can actually induct these people and scale them at your own pace, right? There will be a lot of internal competition for growth, mm-hmm. but there is a clear, system by which everyone is evaluated, right? No, and I think there are, large companies out there that obviously have very large teams. But what ends up happening with the MT program is that it's usually an afterthought, right? Where you say, okay, I'm doing my overall planning for the year. I need to be, 300 new people that we need to hire this year. Okay, and then you go out and hire largely laterally, and then you're like, achha, theek hai, let's hire also some 30, 40 MTs, right? And then these MTs kind of fit in somewhere, maybe they'd have some kind of a training program, but they're part of a larger, org and a machine, right? And so they have to find their place. Right. Versus, I think, at off business, the MT program is the core, right? And so that's where actually most of the growth happens within the firm. And like you said, a lot of the businesses are now today led by MTs.
And also at one point to this, I think while a lot of people we are seeing try to imbibe the similar management training program, I think the problem is ultimately these guys are freshers, right? So it's very important that the boundaries and frameworks are created for them to succeed. You can't put them in the middle of a problem and tell them to solve it without telling them that, hey, these are the people to go to, these are the processes in place, these are the systems in place, these are the boundary conditions that you have to work under, so that they can actually survive, succeed to their greatest potential. I think the problem problem with many startups is because they are not very process conscious. There isn't captive knowledge within the startup, you know, easily accessible to the management trainees. They are not able, they are, you know, often, you know, trying to manage internal systems rather than succeed to their greatest potential. So what's very important is that you ensure you handhold them, guide them with the right processes, give them the right framework so that they can succeed to their greatest potential. And that's important for their success.
So that's a good learning program. Because you'll have an empty program, you're saying the default is that you'll have very process driven. And in some ways, the fact that you all have these 50 learning modules means that you all will actually have learning objectives against each of these that are defined, and people are actually then evaluated against them.
Absolutely.
Great. So it started out as in the first batch when 5 MTs were hired. At that point of time, it was not too very structured. We learned on the job. And then along the way, we realized that we have to give it a structure wherein certain modules need to be there. And essentially throughout the program, the DNA that we wanted the org to carry, that translated through the MTs. And they gelled in such a manner that even down south from the HO at Gurgaon till anywhere in Trichy, Coimbatore, if there's any MT, you can be rest assured that the same DNA is flowing throughout the east, west, or the south, southern parts of the country.
In fact, you won't believe it's, you know, it's freakishly weird that sometimes when you go for meetings with people who you have not seen, you see them pitch the same way you would have pitched directly. And you're like, no, I have not gone for a meeting with him, but why is he using the same dialogue I use? And you know, I think that level at which, you know, it penetrates into the culture, I think is a testament of, you know, how this form of onboarding actually works.
Guys, I'm going to flip to Oxyzo. Congratulations, you know, a great round, and honestly, it's a testament to the quality of the business that you all have built. You know, tell us a little bit about what was the initial idea behind setting up Oxyzo and why build this as a separate business now?
So when we started, we realized that any B2B business has layered credit associated with it. Whether it's for retention, whether it's for scale, whether it's for profitability, you cannot build a B2B business without a captive financial services as a part of it. But I think over the last 4 years, what's happened is with $2 billion of disbursements, very good origination, great credit monitoring network, and more than, you know, 10,000 notes that has come from the captive business, today less than 30% of our lending business caters to the captive commerce business. So we realized that the opportunity is so large that this can both raise capital independently and also scale independently. And I think that's the process to have, you know, raised the round there, Oxyzo.
Or to add to that, Vasant, the SME opportunity in itself, wherein the market being so large, you know, there are manufacturers, there are government contractors, there are service providers, people from as low as a 10 crore top line to a 200 crore top line. So that opportunity, because SMEs being the backbone of the manufacturing sector, that is where the need for credit is so humongous that it will take us a lot of time to cater to that need. That is why us, a different arm, a brand in itself, Oxyzo, a different company, catering to that need was so very critical.
So Ankush, given that you've been in Oxyzo for 4 years and 5 years overall with us, why don't you talk a little bit about why would someone take a line from Oxyzo, who's our typical customer, why do they work with us?
Right, Vasant. So essentially, these are manufacturers or contractors. These are the typical target segments that we have. Now, all these guys, 60 to 70% of their working capital requirement is for raw material purchase. Now, it's partly funded by the bank and partly funded by operational creditors, these traders, dealer, distributor networks. And that is where we come in, because these entities charge them 2 to 3% per month and we charge lesser. Alongside that, once we have a foot in the door of these customers, we give them layered additional products. And that's when they realize the potential that not only is purchase financing in the form of pure play working capital, the other opportunities available to them from the Oxyzo ecosystem, they are endless. And that is why they work with us.
Actually, give a few examples of some of these other products.
So work order financing, that's one. Bill discounting, that's the other. Then what we also have a product is a mixed structured product. In that, depending upon the requirement of a customer, he can be given purchase financing for working capital. He can also be given purchase financing against LAP, that is against security. So the same customer, a structure can be built wherein he has part unsecured working capital, part secured working capital. He can also be given bill discounting, and he can also be given a work order financing product for a AAA rated anchor, wherein all of it will boil down to not only pure play working capital, but other layered services alongside bid assist and other options that he has. So it's for the whole package that a customer really wishes to work with us.
And Rajinder, I think that's also the vision for Oxiso going forward, is that we believe that we have very, very strong origination capabilities with these customers who are very large, right? They're more mid-corporate than SME, for want of another word. So what we actually want to do is that also build a supply chain platform where we could also provide multiple other structured solutions through other banks, NBFCs and lenders, through our captive customers. And it will also become a great fee income product for us. So that's why we are proud of our 5.5% ROA, and we only believe that, you know, with these fee income initiatives and the supply chain platform, it will only increase going forward.
You know, guys, I have this question. You all have now seen, you know, demonetization, GST, the DHFL crisis, then COVID crisis. Frankly, you all have now seen four cycles over the last 5 years. And through each of these cycles, actually, the quality of the book has held up. Even today, the, you know, NPA percentage after the new provisioning norms is still under 1.2%.
Right.
What's the secret? How did you all actually crack such a high quality book?
I think there are three reasons why, you know, our book is, you know, held in great quality. I think first is a function of the choice of customers that we do. I think a lot of people focus on new to credit, but we consciously focus on the bank customers because we always believe that they are underbanked. So we focus on customers in manufacturing, in contract manufacturing, all of them who are not unbanked, who are not new to credit, but who have banking history and relationships, but are obviously underbanked because there's a large credit shortfall in terms of requirement in India. Second, the sectors that we focus, which is manufacturing and infrastructure, even after COVID, you'd realize that the greatest bounce back has come from these sectors. Unlike sectors like retail, you know, service providers, etc., who have still struggled after COVID, I think these sectors have given the greatest bounce back, whether it's because of more manufacturing in India, whether it's becoming another destination apart from China. There's a lot of growth, and this sector has held up much more resilient. I think third, it's also the nature of the product that we do, right? We control the end use, there is constant credit monitoring, our payments come back to us in 90 days. So the way we are able to control credit and constantly monitor credit is also the reason why our book, you know, is of great quality. I think these three attributes are one. And I think the softer aspect is, again, I would, you know, boil down to the management training program. I think the ownership and the company first approach that today the folks on the ground and take is extremely high, because today the guys on the ground, not only do they source, but they become the first level underwriters, they also become the first level collectors. In fact, when a portfolio even goes a product little overdue, they will run to the customer and ensure that it is collected, not leave it to some other team to collect, and that ownership to not lose a penny is also fundamentally why, you know, credit quality is extremely high.
That's true. We again and again come back to the MT program. There's an analogy that I use whenever I train MTs at the end of the program. And the analogy that I use is that just the way the Indian Administrative Services is to the country, that's a steel framework on which the British rule India, but now it's being governed. Similarly, the MT management program and the MTs at OFB are literally the IAS officers of OFB. They are the ones who carry the DNA, who ensure that everything runs in order. And that's how we've been successful all these years, and we will be, because that is in place and is a winning formula for us.
No, fantastic. I think lots of learnings on this podcast. Super appreciate you guys taking the time out. I hope startups and founders who are hearing this choose to actually set up a management training program. I think the learnings that you all shared in terms of, you know, who to hire, how to integrate, how to train, how to then review, all of those also matter. And frankly, the organizational bandwidth that it has created for continuous innovation and, you know, down the line ownership is what is most exciting about Off Business. And I think you all have now set up a, you know, second business that has gone on to become large. I think there are hopefully many more businesses that you all will. I think there are some already afoot. You should actually, you know, add a quick line on that, wasn't? But this seems to be like this, you know, continuous innovation that keeps happening internally.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's the agri business, which today within a year, it's the most resilient business after COVID. And today that business is a $500 million business itself. We are also forward integrating into making our own brands, selling online, building a distribution network. So it's phenomenal to see how that business is scaled. We're also having other interesting businesses, you know, that's being built across garments, across textile, and you'll see that, you know, we are a much more forward and backward integrated player, you know, as we scale. And I think I want to obviously use this podcast to reach out to a lot of, you know, business school grads. I think we're still recruiting for our management training program. So do feel, you know, free to reach out to us. I think there's enough immense opportunities across different types of businesses, and we're always looking for, as we said, hungry, hustling talent.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Super
you.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You so much.
Thanks, Antibit.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/matrixmoments. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.